Here is our King, here is our love, here is our God has come to bring us back to Him. He is the one, He is Jesus, Jesus.
Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org.
You guys, a wonderful Easter service. Take a look at how many people were here. I have a picture. I asked the boys for a picture of Easter service. Those people don't come for a band. They don't come for Pastor Ron. They come because Jesus did something on that day. And we celebrated. And I stood in the back and I was in amazement of what God can do. That he could bring out a crowd like that to worship Him still in this day and age. And it got me thinking. For the ones who made the decision, what's next? And then for me. Because this is another Easter for me. I've been in it going on 11 years now. But we can never, ever, ever, ever get stagnant and stop growing. So I asked God the same question for me. What's next? What's the next step? So today we're going to answer that for both sides of this. For the new believer, when you just got saved, you still your normal self, you still live your normal life, and you're like, what do I do? I believe in Jesus. I said I want to follow Jesus. What do I do next? We're going to answer that. And also for the ones of you who've been sitting in here and we're like, I've been going to church. I've been getting it right. I've been doing my Bible study. But I'm still like, what is that next step? We're going to talk about this. We're going to be able to grow tonight. But I first have to invite that Holy Spirit here with a prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I surrender. I surrender my tongue to you, Father. I pray right now your Holy Spirit lead. I pray right now, Father, that we are able to grow as a church together tonight, Father. I pray right now, God, that we are to take steps forward in our faith, God, believing in you, growing to be more like you, Father, taking back our houses, taking back our marriages, taking back everything the enemy would try to steal, God, that we are able after tonight to stand strong with a word of encouragement from you, Father. We trust you. We love you and praise you. In Jesus' name, everyone said? Amen. So we are continuing. If you've been following with us on Wednesdays, we are in a study of Acts. And I love that it lined up. It lines up with, we are in Acts 9, it's the story of Paul. And I've spoken on Paul a lot. But I also want to correlate it with one other person in the Bible who's been my fascination lately. If you go to the young adults group, you might have a hint of this person. It's this girl named Mary in the Bible. Mary Magdalene, you guys, one of the top 10 overlooked characters in the Bible, promise you. Her faith shows a lot. Her transformation shows a lot. And every time I read the story of Paul, where we're at tonight, I think of transformation. I think of he was one way and he turned and he was different. But then my mind went to Mary, who was one way possessed by 7 demons. Like, imagine that life. Think of a person, whatever your worldview of a person possessed with 7 demons, whatever that picture is in your mind, think of that. That's who Mary was and her faithfulness to be the one at the tomb crying, waiting for Jesus. That is a powerful transformation in the Bible. And I want to put them together because they show us how we take these steps forward, because they had to take some major steps, in my opinion. Paul coming from killing Christians and then Mary coming from being demon possessed. I love these two stories today because there's no way you can walk out of here and say, my story's too rough. My story's too bad. God can't do nothing with me. Today, you can learn that God wants to do something with your story in particular. We are going to just kick it off. Acts 9, 1 and 2. Follow along with me. I got a lot of scriptures tonight. For some of you, I'm sorry. For the others, you're like, yes, scripture. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing murderous threats against the Lord's people. He went to the high priest. And he asked for the letters to the synagogues in Damascus so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. So Paul establishes right here, we establish who Paul is. He's a killer. He's saying the murderous threats. He's looking for all God's people. He wants to kill. He wants to get them out of here. He wants to get them in trouble. That was Paul's persona. I don't know if there's anyone out there who's similar to me, but I relate to Paul in that very same way as I made fun of Christians. Actually, I'm sorry, I'm going to poll you guys. Is anyone else out there, or are you going to leave me hanging alone? Did you like think Christians were squares and like lame and like, it's some major amens out there. I apologize. That's who I was. I didn't understand it. I didn't understand the not participating in the things I participated in. So Paul, being from the religious world, him not understanding this new type of Christianity, this real Christianity, him not understanding these followers of Jesus saying that they know the Son of God, saying they can walk and perform miracles, the fact that he couldn't understand that, I relate to a whole bunch. But that was before he encountered Jesus. Now, I titled this What's Next because some of us have encountered Jesus now. We've encountered him. And now our life should start looking different. How does it start looking different? In Paul's story, and I'm going to read the same thing in Mary's story. In the beginning of Paul, it makes it clear what his past was. You know it. Those of you who've been in church long enough, you know Paul's past. You know his history. You know his flaws. You understand his flaws. And I believe for us, the first step in moving forward is acknowledging your flaws. Hard to do as humans. Let me soften this a little bit. God knows, has seen, he's called you while you were still a sinner, knows your flaws, knows them to the T, knows the ones that you don't even know are still buried deep inside and you still struggle with. He knows your flaws and he has accepted you and loved you regardless. So you need to know that. You have to understand that so you can openly talk with God, have an open line of communication, talk with friends, and be able to openly say some of the things that you have struggled with. Some of the things that you are still struggling with and acknowledge, hey, I'm weak in this area. I struggle with lust. I struggle with pride. I struggle with love of money. I struggle whatever the things you struggle with. You need to be able to be open and acknowledge them because that's when he starts working on you. You guys know this from the scientific way. If you ever dealt with anyone who's had an addiction of any kind, any sort, you know you can't get them to get off their drugs, to get off their alcohol, to get off whatever they're struggling with until they what? Acknowledge that they have a problem. God can't heal us till we acknowledge that we have a problem. And our problem isn't our sin. Our problem isn't our sin. Our problem is we need a savior. Our problem is we need Jesus to come in and start changing us from the inside out, right? Sometimes we give the wrong thing the problem. Look at Mary's story in the beginning. Luke 8, 1 and 2. After Jesus traveled from one town and one village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God, the 12 were with him, 12 disciples, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom seven demons came out. Once again, I've always called Mary Magdalene as it was her last name, and it was not. It's where she was from. Mind blow for some of you guys out there who've been in church in forever. I'm like, what? That's not her last name? Crazy. I'm sorry. Maybe a lot of you guys are Bible scholars and knew that. I was like, wait, what? I've been calling her this whole time. But she was freed of seven demons. If you've ever seen that show, The Chosen, if you haven't, you need to go give it a look. They depict her very well. She's like an outcast. They're trying to cast her out. They can't do it. And then they have the Jesus character come in and cast it out by the power of Jesus. And she sells her life out to him. And that's what she's doing at this point. Mary's, it says these ladies were walking with Jesus and the disciples, doing whatever they was asked of them. And it said they did it out of their own accord, out of their own pockets. They weren't taking from. They were purely serving. They were there to help. They were there to do whatever Jesus was telling them to do. Excuse me. So Just as the disciples get all this hype, we can never forget, especially women of God in this room, there were women of God marching right there with them. You guys must know the power that you guys hold as women, because you will see it when the tomb is empty. You see the power that a woman possesses. Now, acknowledging our sin, acknowledging our flaw, when they introduce Paul, they introduce how bad he was in the past. When they introduce Mary, they introduce her demons that she had to get through. So first, as we sit here in this room today, acknowledge and figure out what it is that is your flaw that God is trying to work on right now. And don't try to think of every, because I can think of, I'm messy, I got this, I got that. How long of a list do you want? You know the flaw. You know the one that he's speaking to you right now. You know the one that you want to overcome, that you want Jesus to come in and conquer. Think of that. Start acknowledging that today. Think of someone who is safe an elder, a pastor, a counselor if you have to, that you're ready to share and get it out and stop hiding it in here where the enemy can lie and whisper into your brain and tell you things and tell you you're not worthy, tell you you're not enough, and tell you that that flaw defines you. It's time to get it in the open. And if you look at your circle of friends and you go, it's not that person, not that person, not that person I can trust, new circle needs to come. First word for you. Paul is going to pull up 1 Timothy 1:15 and 16. I have it if you, okay, here we go. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm the worst. Understand this example. He came to save sinners, of whom I'm the worst. We have to acknowledge that we are flawed. It's so important. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience, an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. You see, he acknowledges his sin as he's writing this to his leader. He acknowledges that I am flawed and Jesus still using me. That's what I'm up here trying to do for you guys today. I am flawed. I'm not perfect. There's not a reason I'm up here. The reason I'm up here is because God is so good, someone has to share about him. I just get to do it this week. But if you are flawed, God wants to use that almost more than anything. For those of you who've been coming for a while I'm up here, you can probably tell you, tell me what I'm going to be talking about my testimony. I was a drinker, I was a smoker, I was a womanizer, you guys probably know that now. Why? Because God took all my flaws and he boosted himself and glorified himself through them. So if you want your story to start going, if you want your story to start moving, if you want to start preaching and telling people in your workplaces, in your schools, you have to acknowledge where you're broken to allow him to fix you. Romans 12:2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. You have to start renewing your mind. You have to start taking everything that you've been taught and testing it with God's word. This one is important. Find out what the Bible says about your core beliefs in life. I had core beliefs. I had beliefs that you drink, and the only way you drink is to get drunk. I had core beliefs that money over everything was a saying that I used to live by. That money was the most important. That was a core belief of mine. I had a belief that women were objects for me. That was a core belief of mine. It had been taught to me through hip hop, through male examples in my life. I had been taught wrong. And I also had this core belief. I bet you a lot of you can relate to this one. For some reason, I had this thought, this insecurity, that no one liked me, that I was the oddball in my friend group, that people didn't want me around. So I overcompensated. I had this feeling that I wasn't worthy. Those were world thoughts that I guess came up with through living this life, through people being toxic around you. I know some of you have been there and you believe these things. You believe money is the most important. If you have a lot of it, you're good. And if you don't, you're just trash. I will say this again, me and my wife, a lot of our bickerments will come when finances get hard. Some of you guys can attest, finances get rough at times, especially in marriages. And my response is usually, we're going to be all right. And that's about it. You can imagine as a woman of God how frustrating that is, that no action is taking place and I'm just, we're going to be all right. But God changed my core belief. My core belief was that money isn't even an object. It doesn't matter that much. We need it to live life. I get it, guys. But God is in control. That was a belief change. Women of God, they're not objects, they are to be cherished. That was a core belief change. The love of money is the root of all evil. Not money, but the love of money is the root of all evil. That was a change, but I didn't make that change. We went to church, we sat down, we went to Bible studies, and we figured out this is what God's word says about the things that I've been taught my whole life. It is okay to forget all the stuff that you've learned growing up, all the stuff that you've learned even in college. It is okay to take it all and test it in the word. Now, there are some gray areas. There are areas that in God's word, you can look in here, you can go through it all day long, and you will say, I'm not quite sure what God says about this subject. There's a few of those. But there's a whole bunch, hundreds, thousands of direct answers to what God says about this life, direct ones. So don't focus on the gray areas, focus on the direct ones and get those down in your life and watch how much God will start moving. Hold on to those core standards that he has. So take those core beliefs that you have, come up with five of them, write them down. I've been journaling a lot lately. Write them down and then go and study and test and formulate your will, your plan for your life, your idea of what this life is. Form it to what God's word says and watch what happens. I need you to trust me on this. Watch what happens. Next verse, Luke 8, there it is. While a large crowd was gathered with the people were coming to Jesus from town to town, he told this parable. This is a very important parable if you're trying to take a next step. A farmer went out to sow his seed, and he was scattering the seed. Some fell on the path and was trampled on, and the birds ate it up. Stop right there. This one is the seed. You come into church, you sit down, and before the pastor even starts preaching, you get a notification on your phone. Seed never reaches you, never gets planted. You've been distracted. It's been taken. That's what he's saying right here. Next one. Some fell on rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants were withered because they had no moisture. They didn't have what it took to live. The moisture is what makes the plant live. You can go to church all you want. You can come here every Wednesday, every Sunday. If you don't have that living water that is Jesus Christ pouring into your life in constant communication, you're going to wither. Might not be today, might not be tomorrow. You will wither. I've had times, and every Christian can testify in here that they've had the time where your plant is like this, just hanging on. But you get just an ounce of that living water and you spring up and you're ready to go again. That's what Jesus can do for our lives. That's what Jesus wants to do for you guys. So in taking this next step of renewing our mind and moving forward, you're not going to be able to do it without constant, and the key word is constant, communication with Jesus. Something I've been learning that is a part of my calling, I've been working with young adults. Young adults have a lot of questions, you guys, a lot of questions. A lot of questions about life. And it's so easy for me to try to, I have life experience, come up with the answer. And cool, I can direct them in the right answer. They'll say, J2, should I do this? I'm like, yeah, duh, this is the easiest answer ever. But then I'm taking the place of what God needs to be for them. Because J2's not always around. You parents know you're not gonna always be around. Us who've lived and had parents, some of us have had parents pass, they're not always gonna be around. Our goal as Christian, this is not just me as pastor, our goal as Christian is when people come to us, they come right here, we direct them right up. Get your answer from God. I will walk with you, I will pray with you, I will come over each time until we get an answer. But we're gonna get an answer from God, because it's like that teaching someone how to fish story. Everyone know that story? You give a man a fish, you feed him for a day, teach a man to fish, feed him for a lifetime. Come on, we all know that story. That's what we have to do. That's that next step. When your family has a problem or a crisis, when your family's going through it, fathers, mothers, listen to this. When your siblings, when someone's going through it, we can try to come over, we can try to cook them meals, we can try to fix it, we can try to bring them medicine. Yes, that is all good and necessary. But when they're really going through it, let's walk with them in prayer and see what God wants to do with the situation. God had to give me a revelation. We're planning my daughter's little birthday party, and the weather keeps saying that it's raining exactly when we're throwing the birthday party. We still don't know what we're going to do, but God just had to check us as a family, because we're trying to figure out how to reschedule, how to do this and that. And here I am claiming to be follower of Jesus, pastor, and we've rescheduled. We've done everything we could think of with our human minds. But I go, you know what? God is powerful. Let's pray that weather change before that day comes. Now, is it going to happen? I don't know. I'm holding on to faith, hoping. But that should be our first response. Our first response is faith. Our first response is pray together. Because more than my daughter have a birthday party and all the toys and all the things that she wants, I would love for her to see that her parents got together and prayed and something happened. Her party changed and it got better. It was for the better because God was involved, not our parents. We're not enough. God is better. God is more important. So please, families out there, involve prayer. Involve God. Involve Jesus. That's the next step. No more putting Jesus in the little pocket and he's only here at church. We have to bring him home and unleash him. Unleash the power of the Holy Spirit within your households. That's when it will start changing. Netflix sent out a little memo thing or whatever. They lost 200,000 subscribers. They raised their price. They raised their price, and people backed out. Because they weren't getting more content. If you're a Netflix watcher, you've had the struggle of scrolling for more hours than you watch a movie. So what happened was a mass of people decided to not renew their contracts. And I believe a lot of us have gotten caught in that scam of when you're on your cell phone, they give you a free trial, right? Here's a free trial. You do it for 2 weeks, you pay nothing. But if you pass that 2 weeks and you don't renew, then what happens? You start seeing that $14.99 come on your bill, and you're like, where's that coming from? Anyone ever experienced that? Until something starts happening, or until they raise the price like Netflix, you go, okay. You evaluate. Should I renew this, or do I need to cancel this? I say that to you walking Christians. Do you need to renew your walk? Do you need to look at how you've been living? However long you've called yourself a believer, do you need to look at it? Look at what it's costing you. Look at how much time you're spending following Jesus. Evaluate where you're at personally and decide, is it time to start stepping forward and doing more? Is it time for you to start producing more content? Is it time for you to start living it more and being a participant in what the Holy Spirit is doing and not just hearing about it? You see, God's stories are for us all. And I know the Taco Bell one was funny, but God is that real. Prayers are being answered daily. And what did Paul say? What did I say? We're not special. Our God stories aren't getting answered because we're special. It's because they're being prayed. Have not because you ask not. It's time to start praying and having miracles. It's time for you guys to start messaging Pastor Ron. This is what God's doing in my life. He should be overflowed. He's taught us to walk with Jesus, to involve Jesus in our decisions. So let's bless our pastor by letting him know what God's doing in our life. Let him know that prayers are being answered in his church. Let him know that we are walking this, that we are gonna do this. I gotta speed up a little bit. Got some more to get through. This is another characteristic I found that is the most important when you're trying to renew your walk. Putting others above yourself. This one is tough for me. My problems seem big. My family stresses, they seem overwhelming. But we're called to live a life daily. If someone's in need of a phone call and a prayer, we are to answer. We are called, if someone is at our workplace struggling, being yelled at by their boss, we are to be the one to be that shoulder to cry on. We are called, and I'm not saying, once again, I'm not talking pastor church. I'm talking believer. We are to be the one that when we see someone in need, we are the first to react and respond. Yet, bills have to be paid. Marriages have to be kept tight. Children have to be cared for. And we got to worry about our own jobs. So it gets hard. But Jesus makes these things clear. I'm gonna pull up two verses, Romans 12:10. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Next verse. First Peter 2:17-19, sorry. There you are. Show proper respect. Listen to this one. This is once again a renewing of your mind. This is going to be counterculture to what you believe in, I bet. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the family of believers. Fear God. Honor the emperor. Slaves. Employees. I'm going to say it like this. Employees. In reverent fear of God, submit yourself to your masters, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. For it's commendable if someone bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because they are conscious of God. So you ever have that boss that just, if they caught you outside of work, oh. Forgive me, God. But you guys know what I'm saying. I'm not going to act like you don't. You've had that boss that's just not right. You've had that parent that's just on you, too hard. You never can do enough. They're harsh in their treatment to you. God's word says we are to humbly serve under them. We are to listen. We are to do the task that we are asked of. We are to submit to those who are in authority over us. And it's a thing that's gotten lost in this world. If someone doesn't respect me, someone doesn't treat me to my worth or my value in the workplace where I'm serving at, how dare they? It's countercultural. We have to renew our minds because that's exactly how we think, right? That's not how Jesus thought. Jesus came down to do a very important task. He came down to save all of sinners. He came down to be God in the flesh. He was handling his business, and the people came to him, and in the task that he was doing, they decided to kill him, they decided to beat him, they decided to mock him, make fun of him, they decided to spit on him, they decided to do all these things to him, and his response was, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And he humbly took it. So when God's word says, it's a good thing, it's commendable when you can work under harsh conditions and you can still push through. I have a father who worked years and years in the news industry. And he gets all these accolades. They even named the lunchroom after him because he would go to work constantly, keep a smile, it would never change. And I always bring him up because when I hear these stories, that's what I think about, is that you have to be able to endure a struggle. You have to be able to endure harsh treatment. You have to be able to be this Christian to take the next step. You have to be really willing to be mocked and ridiculed because you are the square, because you are being walked on, because you are being disrespected. Sometimes you have to endure that. So you said something Pastor Alice told me. You said you wanted to be used by God. And then when someone uses you, you're like, dang it, man, they're using me, taking advantage of me. They just want something from me. They just want a gift card. They just want my money. They just want rides all the time. You said you wanted to be used by God, and then you complain that you're being used by God. Imagine Jesus walking down, getting beat. God abated me to doing this. And what's going on? No, he lived it. He lived it for us so we could follow in his footsteps. So putting others above ourselves is something we have to do. That's one of the next steps we can take. Now, I want to go to Mary's story. I'm going to jump ahead to John 20, 11 through 18. Now, Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been found, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it that you are looking for?" Thinking he was a gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you've put him. I will go get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. She called him. She realizes that's the same guy who called her Mary of Magdalene before. Jesus said to her, that's it. Two more verses, yeah. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, I have seen the Lord. And she told them that he said these things to her. You see, this is an important part of this next step, this walk with God. Please listen. When Jesus was put in that tomb, when it looked like all things were done, when it looked like he was about to, that he had failed his mission, the disciples, they went back. And this is why I've been infatuated with Mary for the last 2 weeks. She went to his tomb constantly crying because she knew that was still the Savior. You see, the men in this story were men. We went, Jesus said he was the king of the universe. He said he was Superman. And he's dead now? Back to fishing. I know that sounds harsh. That's what happened. Now, I'm not going to say they completely lost faith. But they went back to their old ways. And some of you, when I said renew and evaluate your walk, have you went back? Have you went back to your old way of thinking? Have you went back to your old way of handling situations? And it could be in the smallest of things. When someone makes you angry, do you go to him first or do you react? It could be big things like, are you one of the people that God says you need to chill on drinking for a bit, but you went back? Are you one of the people that God says you need to take this out of your life? You went back. Are you one of the people that God says you need to break up with that lady or that man and you're chilling at their house? Are you one of those people who have to look at yourself and go, okay, I'm being one of those disciples right now. I want you to listen closely. You're being a disciple. You're not unworthy. You're not less than. He hasn't left you. You haven't lost your anointing. You're being just like the ones who follow Jesus very close. But you've stepped back. But there's always time. And Easter is a good time to remember that he rose again and he came back and he can revive where you're at. He can revive it. He can renew your mind and make you start putting those boundaries back in place that got you to where you were in the first place. It's time to start walking correctly again and being used mightily by God. It's very important. So this is why I use Mary. Mary's faithfulness is shown. And this is the biggest act. This is the one you have to have in your next step. You see, Jesus looked dead. The situation looked grim. The situation looked like it was over. The situation looked hopeless. But you see, Mary had faith still. She still, no matter how ugly it looked, she was going to be at the feet of Jesus. No matter how big her Goliath looked, no matter how big the problems looked, the Savior of the world looked like he had passed away. She was hanging on to faith, crying, sobbing, but knowing that God, you got to be real. You got to do something. If you can get this trait down that Mary had, nothing can overtake you. You won't be able to go all the way back. Remember Mary's faithfulness, laying out the empty tomb when you're going through it, when sickness strikes your family, when the bank account goes negative. I don't know if you guys have been there. I get the $35 charge all the time. Some of y'all know what price it is. Wells Fargo, yep. When the family members are going through it, when your kids are going wild, when it looks like you have no hope in this world, remember that Mary Magdalene was standing at that tomb, crying, sobbing, hoping that the Savior could do something. And then as she's there, gets word the tomb is empty. As she's there, gets to meet the Savior in his glory. Gets to meet the Savior in a new body. Gets to meet the Savior fresh back from visiting God. Gets to meet the Savior and then tells her, what does she get to do? She gets to go and tell the disciples. You see, I know women have felt disrespected a lot of times throughout Christianity, and that's just, it's a misconception. Because women and men of God know that God honors us both. He's put everyone in their place, but he honors us both. But how great is it that the disciples that were walking with Jesus, and even in the story, the way it's written, it says the disciples and some women were with him, right? So disciples and some women. Those women were powerful. Those women were the one who were there. And they get to run back. And they get to announce, hey, disciples, One of you guys who are walking with Jesus, guess what? He's back. Pick your head up. Guess what? He still lives. Guess what? Everything that man said while he was here was true. He lives. Men or women in here, if you carry that faith, you're powerful. What can overtake you? What trial? What trial are you in right now? It's time to take that next step of faith and going, I'm not going to give up. This one's really trying to beat me down, but I'm not going to give up. I'm going to stand in faith. God's going to do something. God's going to come through, even if it's in the last moment, even if it's when I'm down to my last tear, God's going to come through. Imagine the power in that. Imagine the faith in that. And you spread that to your kids. You spread that to your workplace. You spread that to your school. You spread that when this person was at their worst, I saw them, I walked with them, I watched it. They were at their worst and they had this weird faith that God was going to do something, and boom, he did. We've learned this from our pastor. I've been in meetings where Pastor Ron has got back from a meeting and he's had horrible news from a doctor. Some of you who've walked with VBF from the very beginning must understand what our pastor has taught us. He got led by God to get off his meds at a certain time, beat leukemia. He got led by God to get back on his meds, but he walked with us through every step of it. And what did it build? It built this congregation. It was built on God's stories from God. It wasn't built on him being special. It wasn't built on him being a miracle. He did what God has been trying to show me lately. Involving you guys in reaching him. Involving you guys in talking to him. And look what birthed from it. What can happen from you involving God in your life struggles and telling people about him? I was backstage, I'm gonna close with this. I was backstage talking to one of the worship members, and he shared about a traumatic time in his past. It was John Ranger. Won't share this story. Just want you guys to know this is a man of God. And he got taught something. And I think it's worthy to be shared. In our hardest times, we think that God wasn't there. No matter how dark. And I'm talking, it could be dark. When you were hurt, when you were beaten, when you were sick, when you were dying. Some of you have been through physical molestation and things like that. Some of you have been suicidal like myself. And we picture God as, can't watch that. Wasn't there. And something he learned through one of his dramatic experiences in talking to counselors and elders, he said, picture that dark moment, that rough time. Picture it. Where do you see Jesus? And John told me, I saw him. He was there weeping. You see, a lot of us have made up this God that either he wasn't there. There's no way God could watch me go through that. And there's no way. He watched Jesus go through a beating and die. It's commendable. You see, death is different to him. Jesus took away the sting of death. Death is not the end for us. So we have to stop thinking and putting God in this small box that he wasn't there and all your hurt. He knows. He was there. He's weeping. He not only was he with you in that moment, he was going through it with you. He was feeling it. He was crying. He was weeping. He knows your struggle. And just as he understood fully what Jesus was going through and resurrected him, whatever you are going through that you think keeps you down here, God is going to breathe life into it again. I promise you. I promise you, but you got to take the steps. You have to take the steps. I want to share this last thing. Where I came to Christ was in the young adults group. I have some of them in here. If you are 18 to 26, you're listening online or you're in this room, I'm going to just say don't leave here without talking to me. I'll be down here. But get involved. Because for the 18 to 26, I'm here. This is what I'm here for tonight. I want to walk through these next steps with you. We want to walk through these next steps with you. Something cool that we got to do during spring break, which I love. This is God's stories for me. Because my spring breaks were wild, and they weren't like this. We went to spring break. We went to Huntington. But God changed it. He said, you guys go with a purpose. So we went. and we baptized people in Huntington Beach. We baptized young adults, and they are able to have that moment of professing their faith, which I thought was going to be cool to profess it in front of our peers, but I forgot. It's spring break in Huntington. There was hundreds of people on the beach. And as we're baptizing, I'm looking up, there's phones out, there's people I have never even seen before witnessing what God was doing in these young kids' lives. If you are 18 to 26 and you're going to VBF and you're not part of this, I don't know what you're doing. I'm sorry. It's time to get involved in this community so we can take these next steps together. I have a picture from the day if you guys pop that up there. This is us taking steps together. I want you guys to find that circle, find people of faith, and start taking these steps. I'll say them again, acknowledge your flaws. Get people around you that you can acknowledge your flaws together. Get people around you who want to sit down, get in God's word, and go, what does it say about life situations? What does it say about current events? What does it say? And then finally, start surrounding yourself with some people that have faith beyond measure, who when you want to give up, they won't let you. This is how we're going to take the next step as a church. I'm going to pray. If you're a young adult, reach out to me, VBF Young Adults on Instagram, get involved. Everyone else, mighty men, mighty women. These are those small groups where you'll find those people. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you right now, God, in the name of Jesus. We ask that these steps that we can take in our faith, God, these next steps that you've provided, that you give us the courage, that you give us the boldness, that you give us the want to do these, Father, that you remove all distractions, that you remove them, and you help our eyes to be solely focused on you, Lord. I know how far you've taken us all here as a church, God, but we want to go further. We want to go deeper. We want to know you more, and we want to be used by you more, Father. So help us to humble ourselves, God, and come to you. And cling to you, Father. So I pray right now everyone can start surrounding themselves with people who are trying to take these steps. Filter out anyone who would try to drag our people down, our congregation down, your children down. Take them out, Father. We trust you. We love you and praise you. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. Come get prayer if you need it. If you need prayer, this is a big first step. Come get prayer.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King.